1 to 35. Here Jesus addresses the topic of our unwillingness to forgive. And our lesson is the readiness to offer forgiveness as the expression of our salvation in Christ. Before we hear God's word, let's go to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty Father, as Matthew was carried along by your Spirit to write these inspired, breathed out words, we pray for the same Spirit to illumine our understanding, that we might follow Jesus Christ, our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew 18, beginning with verse 21. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused, and he went and he put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. And so also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. There are some teachings or parables, especially of Jesus, that cut to the heart. That upon hearing them, we will find whatever way we can to wiggle out. I wonder if you have been so wronged, so deeply offended, that extending forgiveness to your offender is just too much to ask. This is our topic this morning. You recall that in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is instructing his disciples on their life together. He begins in verses 1 through 4 by instructing them on the necessity of humility. From there, he moves to the seriousness of sin and the urgency of addressing not only our own sin, but also being careful not causing another to stumble. In the verses we addressed last week, Jesus teaches his disciples how they should confront sin. This leads to our passage in which Peter desires, in verse 21, to know the limits of forgiveness. Where is the line drawn, Jesus? you have to keep in mind the verses that come before Peter's question. Because Peter is responding to Jesus' admonition. If your brother sins against you, you recall it is your responsibility. If you are the offended party, it is your responsibility to go and tell him his fault. Elsewhere in Matthew chapter 5, if you are the one who has done something wrong, you are the one who is responsible. Holding both of those together, he doesn't let anyone off the hook. No party can sit back and say, I'm the victim. Both have a responsibility to seek forgiveness and to be reconciled. And so Jesus has just told his disciples, if a brother sins against you, you are to go, you are to tell him his fault. And so Peter then responds, how many times will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. And Peter, most likely thinking he is being very generous, says, 7 times? And yet, like so many other parables or so many other encounters between Jesus and another, he turns the question around. Peter wants to know where the line is drawn in the sand. But Jesus turns it around and says to Peter that the true problem is not that line that is drawn in the sand, but whether you are one who is willing to forgive. And he goes so far as to focus Peter's attention on the eternal danger of not extending forgiveness if your brother admits his fault. An unwillingness to forgive has eternal consequences. And to demonstrate his point, Jesus now tells a parable of the unforgiving servant. And he begins with the hopeless condition of the servant. He tells the story of a king who desired now to settle accounts with all of his servants. Here is a king who is like a good bookkeeper. And one of those who is drawn to him is a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. And that number might seem lost on us, but consider it as equivalent to 193,000 wages, year's wages. It is an exorbitant amount that is meant to teach, to convey that no one could ever repay it. So when the king hears that the man cannot repay, the king orders him to be sold along with his wife and his children until, note verse 25, until payment is made. Pure business deal, simply. You owe me, and until you pay me back, I will hold you in debt. And notice how the servant responds. He falls on his knees and he pleads. What does he plead for? Patience. Why? So he could repay the debt. The servant doesn't get it. He thinks he can still pay it off. I just need a little bit more time. Give me patience and I'll give you everything. What doesn't he ask for? He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He doesn't ask for his debt to be canceled. He still thinks that he can repay the debt, which makes the king's response even that more strange. He ignores this nonsense about repayment, not even on the table. And instead, his response is to do what the servant didn't even ask, which is forgive. There is nothing in the servant that merits forgiveness. In fact, the only reason we are told why the king should even forgive the servant is out of pity. When Jesus begins to answer this question of forgiveness, note that he begins with our vertical aspect. Peter wants to know horizontally, what are the limits between my brother and me? And Jesus begins, we're going to start here. And of your great debt that you owe to God. The ridiculous amount owed to the king is meant to represent how much you and I have sinned against God. Scripture does not minimize our hopeless condition. In Psalm 130, the psalmist asks the Lord, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Literally, O Lord, if you should be a bookkeeper, if you should record all the ways that I have sinned against you, who can stand in your presence? If the Lord kept a record of all of our sinful deeds, who would ever have a positive flow? That's the problem that the psalmist raises. No one. No one could stand. Which is why later the psalmist pleads, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For us to understand this parable and to really make it cut to the heart, we have to acknowledge and begin where Jesus does. And that is all of our hopeless condition. Unfortunately, the parable does not just illustrate our hopeless condition, it also reveals our sinful disposition. Our sinful disposition is shown, first of all, by thinking we can merit God's approval by our hard work. Just give patience, give me time. How many of us fail to realize that we add to our debt each day? How many of us think that this is how it works with God? If I just put enough good works over here, I won't owe anything to God. But our sinful disposition is also demonstrated by how we always turn the debt horizontal. Parable continues as a servant goes out, sees one of his fellow servants who owes him 100 denarii. Now that is a significant amount. That would equal about 100 days' wage. But in comparison to what the same servant owed the king, it is significantly less. And upon seeing the servant who owes him 100 denarii, he seizes. He chokes, and he demands payment. And in almost word for word, the second servant falls. Notice what he pleads for. Patience. Until he can repay the debt. But the first forgiven servant refuses. Our sinful disposition is not only that we think we can merit God's forgiveness, but we always turn the debt horizontal. We keep records. Beloved, we keep records of how others have wronged us. Perhaps even in this room. We also evaluate our own achievements against those of our neighbor. Yeah, I'm bad, but at least I am not like that one over there. And yet Scripture is very clear that nothing is hidden from God's sight. And we must all give an account. As Psalm 94 says, He will bring back on them their iniquity. We will always find ways to make someone else in debt. And how horrible it is, especially when we see it in a marriage. When we keep a wrong list against the other person, such a thing, beloved, offers no hope to the other person, but only constant condemnation. Because how could they ever get out from under that debt? What could they ever do to repay? Which is why you and I need the Lord's provision. Jesus makes it clear that the king in this parable is to illustrate our Heavenly Father. And just as the king forgives this debt out of pity, so also in Scripture our Heavenly Father pardons our sin. Why? Not because we merit it, but instead according to His steadfast love. When Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about the love that God has shown us, it is because out of His great mercy. Nothing can merit the Lord's forgiveness. The only motivation for the Lord, for the King to forgive the debt, is His own mercy and love. But whereas in this parable the King forgives by a word of pardon, our Heavenly Father forgives by the shed blood of the Word of God. His answer to our debt is to swallow that debt through the cost of the cross. And while all men and women are tempted to find answers to our debt by turning horizontally, any answer that absolves our debt other than Christ crucified is an anti-gospel. Because it is only the gospel that declares that all heirs of Adam are stained, and that it is only Christ who is the truly innocent one. As John the Baptist declares, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lord's provision that He has given to His people. It is not simply that God, to our sin, turns away, but God takes the sin, He puts it on His Son, and He nails all of it on the cross. And there are some here, I imagine, who don't think that you are forgivable, that whatever you have done in the past is beyond the scope of God's forgiveness. Beloved, stop holding on to your sins. And instead, hold on to Christ. He is the only one who has died for your sins in accordance with the Scriptures. As great as your sins are, the greater is His mercy for you. And perhaps there are some of those this morning whose joy forgiveness has grown dim. Beloved, apart from the joy of forgiveness, our souls become dried up. They are subject to the waters of judgment. But as we recall from Psalm 32, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. And there might even be those this morning who say, I have done so much wrong, I cannot even forgive myself. Beloved, in Scripture, nowhere does it exhort you to forgive yourself. Because the only judge is the one who also declares to His elect not guilty by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. Take yourself off the judgment throne. Put Christ there and rejoice in those words. And he continues to provide reminders of his forgiveness for us. This past week, Jody and I were on our walk in the morning. And as we were talking about this text, she shared an illustration. So many anthills on the side of this path. And she said, so often we tend to focus on these anthills, of the way in which we're wrong, when these are all set against the backdrop of these mountains. To illustrate the amount of debt we owe God, and yet we focus on this hill. What is there beyond the mountain of debt that we owe to God? What does the psalmist declare? And the psalmist declares to look at that same maker of the mountain. Not the mountain, but the one who made the mountain. And there we find his greatness and his mercy and his grace. God has given us reminders of his mercy all around us, but especially when we gather in worship. When we hear his word preached, when it is taught, when we gather in prayer and we come to the table, what do we proclaim? The Lord's death until he comes again. And while we want the parable to end here, that isn't really the reason why Jesus tells it. The parable continues that in response of what that first servant had done, fellow slaves see his unmerciful behavior and they go and they tell the king. The king summons the first servant and he confronts him. You wicked servant, reminding him of the great debt that he had forgiven. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And he drives home the point. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you? And just in case we didn't get the point, verse 35, Jesus teaches, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. What does Peter need to learn? As he looks for that line drawn in the sand, Peter needs to learn that if we insist on binding others' debts upon them, we will cut off ourselves from the joy of ever knowing the grace of God extended to us. And there are eternal consequences for such unwillingness to forgive. As Paul says in Ephesians 4, as God has canceled our debt, we must offer forgiveness to those who seek it. And perhaps even more troubling is how Jesus concludes. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It strikes a blow to empty formality and really gets to the source of an unwilling spirit to forgive. It must be from the heart. Because as Jesus teaches in Matthew 15, it is out of the heart come evil thoughts. It must be from the heart. As Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 5, that the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, addresses the source of murder, the angry heart. This is no empty formality. One must forgive from the heart. And beloved, forgiveness from the heart can only be done through faith in Jesus Christ. Because God's promise for a new heart is fulfilled alone in Him. As Ezekiel prophesies, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. From beginning to end, we are in debt to the mercy of God. From the willingness to forgive, to the necessity of forgiving from the heart, it is only by the mercy of God that we can follow this teaching. Has a brother or sister sinned against you? Have you gone to him and told him of his fault? Has he listened to you and sought forgiveness? From the anthill of your neighbor's debt, against the backdrop of the mountain of your debt against God, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only author and the perfecter of your faith. When our brother sins against us and they seek forgiveness, we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.